welcome to the ECM podcast series. I'm Carly Weller, Group Editor of Electrical Contracting News, electricalcontractingnews.com, and the ECN Awards, which this year is being held on the 27th of November in Coventry. This podcast series will be covering all things electrical contracting, and we will be interviewing contractors, suppliers, manufacturers, and associations, empowering electrical contractors with the insights they need to excel in their work. Today, I'm joined by ECN's Sales Director, Kelly Byrne. How are you, Kelly?
I'm good, thank you. Spring has finally sprung, so the nice weather puts a smile on your face, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. Yeah. For this podcast, we're talking to Schneider Electric on the topic of electrical safety compliance. With over 1,000 accidents being reported to the Health and Safety Executive every year, it's clear that electrical safety is an industry-wide responsibility. To discuss this all-important topic, we're joined today by David Williams, who is the Vice President of Transactional Business at Schneider Electric for the UK and Ireland. Welcome, David.
Hi, Carly. Hi, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm excellent. As Kelly said, I'm enjoying, well, I'm hoping it's an early summer. I'm hoping it's not all of the summer. But yeah, a little bit of early spring sunshine does wonders for the soul, doesn't it?
Certainly does.
Lovely, isn't it? It just makes you feel so much better.
Yeah, get out in the garden, a bit of fresh air in your lungs.
Absolutely.
So, David, what's your professional background and how long have you been with Schneider?
Oh, great question. So, I have been with Schneider 14 years this year, and I've worked in lots of different areas of our business. So, I started as a product manager. I've worked in our sort of smart buildings business. I ran a business that was responsible for sort of metering and power control systems and power quality in the UK. I've headed up marketing for the UK and Ireland zone across all our businesses. And I'm currently running, I guess what in sort of normal language you would call our low voltage electrical business for the UK and Ireland. But my professional background is really not in this industry. So my educational background is in marketing. I started my career actually at Aldi, the supermarket chain, on their graduate program and worked a little bit in things like print and printed packaging before I came to Schneider. So I'm certainly not a technical expert by any standards, but I have spent, you know, 14 years in the electrical industry and a lot of time around contractors, panel builders, design firms, and of course, electrical distribution. So probably have a good understanding of some of the topics impacting the industry.
How did you go from one to the other? How did that happen? Sort of going from Aldi and then over to electrical. How did that kind of take place?
Yeah, so I started my career out of university at Aldi, which was a sort of training really to run an area, you know, training to run a bunch of supermarkets and lead a big team of people. And I guess that probably alludes to a couple of my professional passions, really. One is leadership and leading teams, and the other is really on that commercial side. You know, how do you grow a business? How do you drive a business? Kind of how do you decide on that business strategy to improve that business? But actually the story of how I ended up at Schneider is not that grand, to be honest, and probably was not by that much design. I happened to have a friend who was working at Schneider, been at Schneider about a year, was really enjoying himself. And as I was looking to move to probably a bigger company, in a bigger organization, more opportunities, and more development opportunities, this friend happened to say to me, you know, I've been at Schneider a year, it's a great organization. They happen to have a kind of office local to me. And it happened at the time that the chap that employed me, so he was running a marketing team and was probably looking for, he had a very technical team and was probably looking for somebody with a bit more of a sort of professional marketing background. So I think if I'm really honest, I sort of ended up in Schneider by complete accident. but here we are 14 years later and I'm still here.
The best kind of accident. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously we're talking on the topic of safety today. Why do you think there are so many accidents across the industry?
It's a really interesting question. And I think, of course, the type of accidents vary significantly as well, right? So you have what you would probably classify as kind of pure electrical accidents or incidents, you know, that will be related to, specifically to, I guess you could call it the kind of the flow of electricity itself, right? So very much related to the product set and the kind of flow of electricity itself. And then, of course, you've got other types of incidents and accidents that are more around the environment in which, you know, that kind of installation of product, let's call it, takes place, right? So more kind of construction related accidents, more site type related accidents. So I think what you have is a mix of topics, really. You have probably the most obvious topic, which is electricity is inherently carries risk, right? Inherently, it is a dangerous thing, is probably the easiest way to look at it. And actually, that's why organizations like Schneider and others exist, because at our kind of, you know, heart, really, a lot of our product set is around making electricity safer. And ultimately, probably we spend a lot of our day job, you know, at a basic level, kind of containing and distributing electricity, which is, as I say, an inherently kind of dangerous thing, really. And then outside of that, again, you look at the sort of the work environment, you know, I would say particularly in a number of segments where, you know, they're rapidly growing and there is pressure to do things quickly, you know, to make things happen quickly, to get installations finished quickly, to manufacture product quickly. So I think you've got an element of speed, and I think you have an element of ultimately, I don't want to call them dangerous circumstances, probably high risk circumstances, if not managed correctly, a construction site, a huge factory. So I think it's probably really at its base level, it is that electricity, if not managed correctly, is inherently a dangerous thing. Yeah. And then beyond that, I think you have a kind of context on the sites in which many of us work on a day-to-day basis that, again, if risk is not managed correctly, can be dangerous places, probably much more dangerous than someone like myself who sat in the home office today. You know, I would be at much more risk if tomorrow I was on a large construction site. So I think that has its part to play as well.
Yeah. So do you think that because of the pressures of getting the job done quickly and everything, do you think a lot of corners are cut with regards to safety?
Look, I would say, you know, for a number of the partners that we deal with, you know, we're talking about large national contractors, whether that be general contractors or M&E contractors, and these organisations have really good safety records and they have great systems by which they manage health and safety on major sites, right? So I think if you go to a major construction job and you are working with a reputable, large contractor, you would expect to see, you know, good health and safety records. You would expect to see good RAMs. You would expect to see good, you know, 5S type process. You would expect to see full PPE, all of those good things. I think anyone that's worked in the industry will have been on a site where an organization doesn't necessarily run in that way. I would say, again, that is absolutely not what we see with some of our, you know, really strong partners. But I think often people will cut corners. I think that is, you know, probably a little bit inherent in the world of construction when you are dealing with, you know, anything from a mega project to a small project. You know, this and again goes from anything to, you know, a huge kind of marquee project in a stadium data center, right, of course, through to small electrical works in people's homes. And I think it's easy to forget that you don't always control the environment. You know, if you think about an electrician going in and coming to do some work in my house or your house, they don't have complete control of the environment. And of course, if you're a small self-employed electrician, you know, the more jobs you can do, the more you can get paid, right? So I think at that level in the industry, often people are trying to manage risk and reward. And you know, this is people's kind of, it's how they pay their mortgage. It's, you know, it's how they put food on the table. But I think, you know, it is important for everybody to kind of remember that inherently it is, you know, electricity is dangerous. It's a dangerous environment. And absolutely, you know, following the rules and the standards, and I say, you know, the basics of wearing the correct PPE and all those other things are really important. But I would say in some areas of the market and some kind of segments of the market, speed certainly plays a part, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so having said that safety is an industry-wide responsibility that stretches beyond the day-to-day activities of engineers and installers, give us your take on the current industry and product landscape for electrical safety compliance.
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting. I think you have to probably look at the whole life cycle of a project, let's call it. So we're probably a little bit beyond, you know, small electrical works in the home at this point. But I guess if you think about, you know, a commercial project, let's call it, you're probably looking at health and safety across the whole life cycle of that project. So from the design phase, the build phase, the operate phase, and the maintain phase, there are health and safety considerations, and there are product considerations across all of those phases, right? So if you think about the design phase, you know, that's where electrical standards, I think, certainly in new build design, let's call it, that's where electrical standards kind of come into their own, right? So, you know, the wiring regs, as an example, you know, the British standard wiring regs are probably the kind of the heart of that. So if you take AFDDs in this example, right, there was a couple of changes in the latest edition of the wiring regs. The implementation of AFDD in sort of high-risk residential applications, let's call them, so HMOs, student accommodations, it's probably a good example of designing for safety. So, you know, the wiring regs make a change. The requirement is that you need to put AFDD in these applications, and that ultimately is about designing a system for a higher level of electrical safety, ultimately. You know, in the build phase is probably a lot of what I talked about in terms of the context of a site, you know, but also around using proven technology, around, you know, using, you know, appropriate manufacturers, the right level of kind of tested and validated solution. And then in the operate phase, you might have things like, you know, remote switching, as an example, keeping operators physically away from, you know, breaker technology. And in that kind of final maintenance phase, it might be something like, you know, fully withdrawable switch gear that allows you to operate, you know, again, at a kind of a distance and and without kind of, I guess, accessing the most dangerous parts of the technology. So I think the piece for me is all around thinking about the appropriate phase of the life cycle of a job, and then where does safety come into its own, whether that is to say the way you design that, you know, building or piece of infrastructure, and the way you operate that piece of infrastructure, there is safety across all of that, and it requires different kind of legislation. And then some of it is then on the designer, some of it is more on the installer, and that probably, you know, leads into that point there, Carly, of it's everybody's responsibility, right? So the designer needs to design the building in a safe manner. It needs to be installed in a safe manner. The manufacturer has a responsibility to bring product to market that is evolving from a safety point all of the time. So that certainly would probably give you that, you know, full circle of safety across every phase of a project, really.
Electrical Contracting News is the leading title for the electrical contracting industry. Packed monthly with news, views, product releases, case studies, and much more, it's a must-read for any electrical contractor looking to stay informed, source new business, and increase their profits. If you prefer to get your news online, get along to electricalcontractingnews.com, which is updated daily. ECN is the last word in electrical contracting. Don't miss out. Stay up to date with ECN in print and online.
Okay, so what's your view on how organisations can leverage active safety systems and digital innovations in electrical installation?
So I think the digital topic particularly, if I jump there and perhaps work back a little bit, I think that the biggest thing in terms of how digital can offer assistance, let's call it, from a safety perspective, is all around visibility. I think the visibility into the electrical system that digital and ultimately software now provides is something that, you know, didn't exist, you know, 10 plus years ago. And I think the electrical system back then was a bit of a black box, and certainly it was very reactive rather than proactive. So perhaps what a digital electrical system brings is visibility. And when I say visibility, you know, visibility in terms of perhaps condition of assets is perhaps a really good example of understanding, you know, the wear on a circuit breaker, you know, the number of operations of a circuit breaker. And ultimately what that allows you to do is take, you know, servicing decisions or ultimately replacement decisions before, you know, a piece of equipment fails. And ultimately that is a very preventative way of servicing that system or that equipment. And that certainly didn't exist, you know, before the world of digital and software and connectivity into products to allow you to understand those things. So I think digital brings, you know, that really it brings visibility to the fore and really allows us to be proactive in terms of equipment maintenance and safety. So I think that's probably a really strong example there. In terms of kind of the active safety system, that really is again around proactive safety. You know, it allows that remote monitoring piece. And it really is that, you know, active is ultimately the key word here, right? You are being kind of proactive. You are actively taking an interest in that safety. You're connecting into that product. You are understanding, you know, what is happening with that product. You're getting a view on what's happening in the system. And I guess at a really basic level, it stops you guessing is probably the best way to look at it. You know, if I was explaining this to somebody who perhaps never seen or never understood an electrical infrastructure and a piece of electrical equipment, I would sort of say, you know, it stops you guessing. So think of it, what's a really good sort of analogy? I guess think about the dashboard of your car, you know, and in a modern car, you don't really have to know much about the car. It will tell you that your tire pressure is low. It'll tell you that your washer fluid is low. It'll tell you that your oil level is low, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, you have the option to go to a professional and get those things resolved before your car overheats on the motorway or your tires burst or whatever it may be. I guess an active safety system combined with digital visibility in terms of software is exactly that. It's like a modern car dashboard that allows you to make decisions based on insight, facts and data and real-time condition-based monitoring rather than guessing effectively.
With the changing nature of modern safety systems and developing technologies such as the ACTI-9 active product range, how is this redefining industry safety standards?
Well, great question. So a good way to think about that, I guess, is the if you look at the ACTI-9 active as our kind of top level solution for safety in kind of low voltage final distribution. Probably the best way to think about it is the evolution of the device. And it's an interesting time to talk about this because pretty recently, the home circuit breaker was 100 years old, right? So it gives you a kind of view into the world of technology evolution that the circuit breaker is 100 years old. And I think what's interesting when you look at the ACTI-9 active system is you have moved very quickly from, you know, a very basic miniature circuit breaker that did, you know, very basic things, right? Gave you very basic kind of short circuit and overload protection. You know, that's really what, you know, we moved from some point in time from fuses to kind of miniature circuit breakers. When you go then to something like the ACTI-9 safety system, what that really is giving you is a real kind of all-in-one device with a level of technology that hasn't really existed before. So you've got your sort of miniature circuit breaker, you've got your sort of maximum voltage switch, you've got your RCD, you've got your AFDD technology, all of that in a device that ultimately is the same size as two MCBs, which is an unbelievable evolution in the kind of capability and protection that a single, very small, ultimately quite cost-effective device is able to offer. So we often kind of talk to people about that kind of, you know, very fast evolution between a kind of very basic miniature circuit breaker, you know, then you moved into the world of kind of RCBOs, and now you live in this world where you have four or five really strong pieces of functionality all sitting in one device, allowing you to, again, drive that connectivity, which is really for us, the connectivity piece is at the heart of many things in the electrical industry. It's very much at the heart of that kind of sustainability net zero journey in terms of understanding energy management. But it's really at the heart of the safety journey because it goes back to that kind of visibility piece. And then you have all the kind of additional safety benefits of the physical product around, you know, residual current device and all of those things that now all sit in this very small, very clever piece of equipment that, you know, certainly was probably only something electricians dreamed of 10 years ago.
Yeah. You've kind of answered a bit of my question, but I was going to say, obviously, ACTI-9 active features the all-in-one protection devices with inbuilt connectivity for advanced protection for people, assets, appliance. But obviously, I was going to ask you a bit more about it. But obviously, AFD, RCD, MCB, all-in-one unit, is that unique to Schneider? Are you kind of the only people that do that, or...?
Look, I would say in certainly in commercial buildings, which is probably, you know, the real sweet spot of our organisation. You know, we absolutely have a residential system, but I would say
Residential is a really interesting story, and actually we'll probably touch on that in a minute because I have a lot of passion for the kind of safety and residential topic. But today, I would say the residential kind of electrical distribution system is fairly simple. Now, it's becoming actually quite complex, and I say we'll come back to that. But actually, it's quite simple. In most people's homes, it's very simple. Actually, many people don't understand it, don't know what the electrical panel does, don't know where the electrical panel is. So, you know, the Actinine system is definitely aimed in that kind of commercial industrial, you know, it's a three-phase product. It lives in that sort of more complex world. And I would say in that world of three-phase electrical, commercial industrial buildings, Schneider Electric is absolutely a leader in terms of product innovation, in terms of safety standards, in terms of design standards, in terms of product reliability. You know, we are absolutely a leader in that market. And I would say it's a sweet spot for us because of its complexity and the amount of reliability that's required. And ultimately, you know, there are a lot of power critical segments in which this product sits in. So, you know, yes, it's very annoying if you're in a large commercial building and your lights go off, but you're kind of working in an office, you can maybe survive for a period of time. Actually, if you're running a, you know, high product value, I don't know, frozen food manufacturing plant, you know, the cost is high. Of course, if you're running a hospital or a, you know, life sciences production facility, these are kind of life, real life critical applications. And Schneider is certainly a market leader in that space and in those real critical segments. I think that's where we stand, you know, a little bit above everybody else, really.
What's the industry reaction been to the Actinine from installers, you know, contractors? Do they have good feedback for it?
We've had fantastic feedback. I think for us, the Actinine safety system has been a real successful launch. You know, probably exceeded our expectations in terms of the volume of which we've managed to put into the market. And I would say that kind of Actinine range, let's call it, has a real rich history of innovation, you know, from maybe 10 years ago when we moved to ISO-RP and the plug-on neutral, you know, where we've moved then to a digital system and then where we've moved to the active safety system. I think our kind of history of innovation, even if you go right back to the first ISO-RP boards before the plug-on neutral, and the isolating slider and that kind of fishbone architecture, Schneider has a real rich history in the UK and globally of really strong product innovation. You know, we work extremely closely with our partners. So I talked earlier a little bit about design firms, you know, contractors, electricians, panel builders, and the distribution network, which are customer types my team are responsible for. And we spend a lot of time with those customers, talking to customers, you know, co-developing product, listening to feedback. And yeah, I think the market reaction to the product has been really strong.
I was just going to say, for such a complex product, you kind of, like, it's USP, you pride yourself on it being very easy to install, don't you, as well? Sort of, you know, for the contractor.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think, you know, skills are a challenge in the industry at the moment, I think, for a lot of people. You know, if you run a big panel builder, a big contracting firm, ultimately if you're a big manufacturer, I think accessing the right level of skill is always a bit of a challenge. And the other thing that, of course, is a challenge is time to train people. So absolutely for us, making products easy to use, you know, easy to choose, easy to use, you know, easy to service is really important for us. And I think that, and we do that in a number of ways, I guess that open connectivity, I think, you know, the native way in which the hardware connects to the software, you know, keeping things simple from a kind of form factor perspective, you know, all of those things are really important to us in terms of making it easy for the installer. So, you know, simplified installation, wireless connectivity, all of those things are really important for us because I guess what we want here is a mass adoption of these, you know, of the highest level of safety ultimately, because we believe that's really important, you know, for then the building end users and ultimately the public, that it, you know, it's not prohibitive for anybody to install the highest level of safety protection in any application.
One more thing. When you're at the R&D stage, do you bring contractors and installers in to ask them for their feedback when you're obviously designing and creating a new product?
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, I think as an organization, we have a huge amount of really clever people. I think, you know, certainly way cleverer than me. You know, in our R&D labs, we have some really smart people. And I think, look, what you need to develop a really good product is more than just a bunch of really smart, you know, electrical people. You have to understand the market. So you need your marketing team. You have to understand market need. But you have to understand more than market need, because you have to understand things like, you know, willingness to pay. You know, you can't create everything. You know, you can't create something that ultimately has no place in the market, has no willingness to pay. You cannot create products that don't solve a problem for people, you know, at its base level. And then you get onto things like installation. And of course, the products have to be, as I said, easy to choose, easy to use, easy to service. So for us, it's really important, I think, when we get to sort of past that idea stage and we're getting on to things like a minimum viable product, that we absolutely work with our partners. You know, so in my business, as an example, a lot of our R&D is in Grenoble in France. We would absolutely say partners. We've had some partners over there recently, actually. And that's a kind of constant thing for us. So I would say a couple of times a year, the UK team will have partners out in Grenoble, you know, talking to the R&D teams about product development. What's next? What do they need? What problems have they got that we can solve? And then at that next phase, when we, you know, have something to look at. And in fact, I'm out with some customers in the next couple of weeks with some of the R&D team showcasing the early product development to get that feedback on, you know, we really like this, but actually it would be better if, I don't know, for a panel, it had a couple of handles here, or it had a top connection, not a bottom connection, or we need a bit more cabling space, or all of the things that you only learn through years and years of site experience. And that's where the partners for us become really important.
Great. So away from the topic of safety, your big promotion at the moment with Schneider is you're giving away two tickets to see Oasis. How can electrical contractors get involved with that?
Yes, absolutely. So we have our What's the Story promotion.
Brilliant name.
Yeah, so I can absolutely take no credit for that whatsoever. I said a few minutes ago, we had some great marketeers in the organisation. So yeah, I think you know, the sort of the resurgence of Britpop, let's call it. And unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember it the first time around. Very important. There are people in the organisation not old enough to remember it the first time around. That makes me feel older than I am, perhaps, or as old as I am. So, yeah, What's the Story? Look, it's all over social media. It's all over our distribution partners. And ultimately, there's you know, qualifying product that you can purchase, and then, you know, pop your details in and register for that kind of prize draw. It is very new, so it's just gone live, I think, in the last couple of days. So I say you will see this all over social media. You will see it at our partners' events. You know, there are some very big industry events coming up over the summer. You know, it will be in all of our distribution partners. And it's as simple as, you know, buying some qualifying product and getting yourself registered for what will be a fantastic prize. Unfortunately, I'm excluded and I didn't manage to get my Oasis tickets after hours of queuing on Ticketmaster, which is a real shame. But yeah, set to be a great promotion, I think. And a couple of people are going to be extremely lucky to win those hospitality tickets.
Definitely.
Yeah, this is a brilliant prize, isn't it? Considering how long we were all queuing that day trying to get the tickets. Anybody actually who got any.
No, me neither. Just before we let you go, David, I just wanted to say Schneider have been named the world's most sustainable corporation for a second time by Corporate Knights. How does that obviously make you feel, and Schneider feel as a company? Must be very proud.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think it's a huge part, but it is our mission as an organisation, ultimately, not only our own net zero journey, but probably more than that. And I think that's the difference perhaps of working in an organisation like Schneider, is a lot of our day-to-day is about helping our customers and partners on their net zero journey. You know, so for us, it's certainly about kind of walking the talk, really, for both ourselves and our customers. And I think it's a huge accolade for the business. I think, look, sometimes it's not about awards. We understand that, you know, it's a collective effort and Schneider can't win that every year. We have to work and hopefully other organisations kind of, you know, we all keep pushing each other on that journey. But I would say it's a proud moment for everyone in the team. It's a really important topic. And I think it's a privilege to work for an organisation that has such a really strong mission at its core.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Okay, so I think that's about it for this recording. It just leaves me to say thank you to Kelly and thank you to David Williams, VP of Transactional Business at Schneider Electric.
Well, thanks for having me.
Remember, if you'd like to be included in Electrical Contracting News or a future podcast, please do get in touch with either myself or Kelly. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the ECN podcast. Please subscribe to this podcast in your chosen podcast app so you never miss an episode. Stay up to date with ECN in print and online. Visit electricalcontractingnews.com.